Hey friends, welcome back. I'm Katie and this is my podcast, Katie Needs a Podcast. Welcome to the first episode of our new take on this series. Back in the day, Jake, Reggie, David, and I would get together and stay in touch during the pandemic and talk about whatever random stuff we wanted to. But now it's going to be a little bit different. As a band that plays shows, we have the opportunity to meet a lot of really cool people along the way. Whether they're the artists that we share the stage with or the people behind the scenes that make the scene so awesome, there are a million moving parts to making every show special. Starting today and every Monday moving forward, I'll be interviewing the awesome people that I've had the opportunity to meet along the way. Speaking of today, we are currently with a powerhouse of the music industry in Southwest Michigan. Meet my good friend, Kale Bitson. They're the founder, editor, and photographer of Vibrant Music Collective. And speaking of the photography, it's like they're a killer photographer. They've shot a million shows that I've had the opportunity to work. And as the person that got to filter through all the pictures and choose them for our social media pages, it was always a pleasure to go through yours. And I also have come to understand that you're like a cosmetologist by day too. So you're a jack of all trades, a regular renaissance person. Sorry, go ahead. Say hey, Kale.
Hi, I'm very excited to be here. And thank you so much. That is so sweet.
I mean, if you're going to go out and do the work that you do, then thanks is all that you'll get from people like me. So to get this ball rolling, you know, you and I know each other a little bit, but I definitely want to get to know you a little bit better, starting with Vibrant. Can you tell me a little bit about the collective and how it got started?
I started shooting shows last year at the beginning of the year. I did photography on and off since high school, and I just got tired of doing the normal like wedding seniors and stuff. So set my camera down for a few years. In that time, I did go to cosmetology school. And then last year, while I was looking for a salon to work at, I picked it back up. I decided to apply to some publications that were very generous and let me be a part of it with virtually no experience. As I began working with the publications, I just never really found what I was looking for in a publication. I have some friends who shoot for other publications for venues and things like that, and talking with them as well, there are just a lot of bumps along the roads of editors not getting things up in time, not communicating properly. So I wanted to create my own, so that way I could get things done in a timely manner. But I also wanted to see something that was specifically for LGBTQ voices. That is why I started Vibrant, was to create a specific platform for LGBTQ artists, whether it is the people who work for Vibrant, the photographers, the writers, the graphic designers, and to amplify the artists as well. I began working on it in about 2018 originally. I had just had the idea for it, but I had never worked for a publication. I didn't know what went into it or anything. So once I actually started shooting for a publication and things like that, I was like, okay, I'm going to sit down and actually start creating this, working on it more. I've had this idea in the back of my head for a really long time. I'm going to make it happen. And so we finally launched in June of this year in time for Pride Month. So we have been up and running for about 6 months now. And I'm really, really proud of everything that my team has done. We have people on the team from literally all over. We have people in California, Florida, Canada, the UK, right here in Michigan. Yeah, I'm just really, really proud of everything that we've done in the past 6 months.
Yeah, it seems like you have gotten a lot done in the 6 months that you've been around. There are a lot of people involved in your crew. Mm-hmm. It seems like this was something that a lot of people instantly cared about. So how did you get your message out there initially? Like, who was the first artist that you covered? How did you get people interested in joining the team?
Kind of people interested in joining the team was, I'm a part of a few Facebook groups specifically for concert photographers or people a part of the industry that are looking for press connections. So I posted in there that I was starting a publication, what it was about, and a form. And my requirement was not that you needed to be queer, but you at least need to be an ally to be a part of it. And we have a really great team of, I'm pretty sure everybody on the team is queer. That's really awesome that people wanted to see what I wanted to see. They wanted a platform specifically for queer voices and queer artists. So I think because it is such a marginalized group, and so many other publications will cover like queer artists here and there, to have one specifically dedicated for queer artists and voices, I think really spoke to a lot of people. I started our Instagram and just instantly started following queer artists, queer photographers, other publications that focus on, women, BIPOC individuals, and things like that. And that also got the message out because we were kind of doing something similar, not exactly the same, but I had other publications reach out to me and they were like, "We love what you're doing. We would love to collaborate sometime, where we're always here to support." And I think that also got the message out too.
Just like out of curiosity, now, so you've been shooting shows forever, you've got this very specialized thing that you're looking for. What has been the show that you feel has been the most rewarding for you to be a part of?
There are two that instantly come to mind. One was Chapel Roan, which you were at this year as well. I had seen that on the calendar. I tried to get into that show through a publication and couldn't because she had blown up so quickly. So when the venue asked me to work that show, I instantly hopped on it and I was like, "I will do anything to make this possible." Unfortunately, I got sick at that show. It was incredibly rewarding because of how big she was at the time to be able to be there. Everybody there, because I went around and was taking pictures of people's outfits and everything, everyone was like, "Where can I find these?" Or I've seen other people share the photos. And so I know that other people really loved them as well. So that made me feel really good. And the other one was, I did Greta Van Fleet earlier this year. That was my first show to do at an arena. I was not expecting in any way to get approved for that show, especially because I haven't been shooting that long. Well, I've been shooting for about 2 years now, but I feel like there are some people who've been shooting for like five plus and still haven't done an arena show. So the fact that I got into their show, it was sold out. It was also in their home state too, was, yeah, just incredibly rewarding. I looked around. I was at the Van Andel last night for Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and I was telling my mom how when I was up shooting, I turned around and looked at the entire crowd, and I was just like, "Oh my gosh, like I'm so grateful to be where I'm at." And those are still some of my favorite photos that I've done to this day. It was my sister's favorite band too, so that was really cool for her to see me shoot for the first time at such a big show. It was really cool.
Those are two very high energy shows. And it's like looking at like Trans-Siberian Orchestra, who specializes in, we'll say primarily niche covers. It's like when you go to see a show like Greta Van Fleet and you go to see a show like Chapel Roan, I feel like especially for Chapel, it's just wild to be immersed in the crowd. Everybody's up. They all know all the dances. They all know all the words. It's like an energy unlike anything else in the whole wide world. And you get to experience that all the time. Was there an artist that you felt very delightfully surprised by when you walked away from the shoot that night?
So I shot Marianas Trench, and I had been following them since I was in high school because I was an emo kid. And they're a Canadian band, but they were still pretty big in the emo scene. And when I went to that show, there were not a lot of people there. I would say people even drove in from Canada for that show, so it was mainly like, people who grew up with them, knew them. And even though there weren't a lot of people, everyone was so loud singing every single word. And it really just proves that it doesn't need to be a sold out show to have great energy. But another band that I was really delightfully surprised by was last year when I was shooting Real Friends and Knuckle Puck, their opener. I think they're called Between Me and You, Before Me and You. I think it's Between Me and You. I absolutely loved their set, and I'd never heard of them before that, and I walked away listening to like adding so many of their songs onto my playlist. I listen to them all the time now. And that's one of my favorite things about shooting shows is I love going to see openers because it helps me learn new music, find new artists. I know a lot of people will skip the openers. They don't really care. They want to see the main artist. One of my favorite things is the opener.
I know, usually the openers are they're like always the underdogs, but they're chosen because they will accentuate the overall experience of the show and stuff. And I always urge people to see the openers because a lot of times that will be your local talent where it's like, this is a band you can watch like rise to fame and stuff. If they're opening for your favorite band, imagine where they'll be next year on their own. Okay, so you get to see all of these shows. You get to broaden your horizons all the time with music. Like, how does that come into play with Vibrant?
Obviously, I get to shoot shows for Vibrant, but also through running Vibrant, because we do not just photography, but we also do like interviews and features and everything. I get sent songs and albums all the time that aren't even released yet, that I get to hear. And yeah, same thing like you were saying, with local talent, I get to see these artists rise up. A lot of the times, they're newer up and coming artists that publicists are pushing out because they're trying to build them up. And so that's really cool that I get to see people start from the bottom and rise up. I get to interview them at the beginning of their career and watch them find their sound.
Working in the environments that I have most recently, I found it to be really rewarding to be on the other side of music and be part of the story that like sees someone reach that Chapel Rowan status. You know, like it is an honor to have worked somewhere that she played in her first year as like a blowing up artist. The interviews that you've done, I can see that there are a lot of them online. What was your most recent interview?
So we just had somebody conduct an interview with Chloe Starr talking about her new single, and just how vulnerable this new chapter in her life has been and how that helped her find like her self-identity and everything. So yeah, that was our most recent.
I don't know if this is a weird question to ask in an interview. You're my lucky first contestant with all of these things. So, has there been anything that like almost blindsided you emotionally when you connected with an artist where you're like, whoa, there is a piece of you that outside of this like overarching thing that brought us together makes me feel like we know each other on a deeper level?
I would say I did an interview with a local band called Low Phase. I have some connections with them because they're good friends with one of my good friends, and so we've all gone out to dinner and everything. Well, doing this interview, I was talking to their main songwriter, Caleb, about one song they particularly put out that just talks so much about like anxiety and comparing it, anxiety and depression, talking about how it's similar to the winter time, you know. That's the time where people tend to go down a path even more so because of the weather and everything. And I just related so much to what he had to say and how personal that was for him to put out. I was like, I get it, dude. As somebody who struggles very deeply with mental health, yeah, it was just really cool to see that, you know, artists aren't just this persona that they put out. They're real people. Their songs have real meaning. They're not just putting out basic, you know, bubble gum. I do like some bubble gum, but they're not just putting out like basic stuff just for people to hear them. Like there's actually something behind it. Yeah, I could absolutely relate to that. And it was very meaningful to hear somebody struggle. Not that I would want anyone to struggle with that, but it just felt very like validating to hear that, oh, you're somebody who does this for a living, but you still understand what I as a regular person feel.
When lyrics can really like echo through your soul, that's like so impactful. And I feel like it's a lot more common in the artists that are the up and coming to be able to really see those first. I mean, the really big artists, they still write the songs that are like very catchy and like can really get you and stuff. But sometimes that's like a group of writers. When you're dealing with the local bands or even like the mid-level bands that are like 400 cap room types, they're still so tied to like connected to the world that like when they're writing things, it does have that like big impact in them. And I love low phase. They're awesome. They're especially awesome to see live. If any of you watching at home have not seen low phase, go see low phase. Okay, that brings me to another question that I feel is probably one of the more important questions. Now that you have a platform in which you can really say, who do you feel are three bands that you've seen recently that you feel are criminally underrated that the world needs to give more attention to?
I would say the other night I saw Trana. I really, really loved them. And I would say that when I went to go look at their music, they literally only had like a few thousand plays, and I was very surprised by that.
What's sorry to interrupt, but what's their sound like?
The way that I described it to my friend the other day when I went to go see them was they almost kind of like similar to the Cardigans, but like if you throw a little bit of Blondie in there as well.
Whoa.
So their stage presence was really awesome. They were playing a pretty small stage, but their stage presence was really awesome. I loved their sound. Honestly, I would even say they sound better live than they do in studio.
Love to
But I
hear
really,
it.
really. Another one I would say is Leo Battista. So he is a, I believe he's from around Detroit. He actually won a contest to be able to open up for Judah and the Lion. And his sound reminded me a lot of, if you've ever heard of Clinton Kane, but Clinton Kane without controversy. Like his sound is very similar, but I met him and he, oh my gosh, he was so just kind and genuine, and so were his band. Both of them came up to me, shook my hand, introduced themselves, wanted to hear who I was shooting it with, what we were about. Just very, very genuine, kind people. Another one that we, so this is one I shot for Vibrant, is Kalia Lee. She opened up for Del Watergap. If you like the Hunger Games soundtrack, like her stuff kind of sounds like that. Very much reminds me of like not the most recent Hunger Games, like the older ones. Very raw and real acoustic, but oh my gosh, her voice, like I just stood there just being in awe and mesmerized by her. She doesn't have a giant like show. She doesn't have like a cr like no crazy dances or anything like that. It's just her and her guitar, but it's so real.
I love that. Well, I'll have to check all of those artists out. I'm always excited to check out new music, and I feel like I don't really listen to enough of it anymore. Like, I feel like I kind of holed up during the pandemic, and it's had these like effects where now I just listen to podcasts all the time. Outside of work, what are your favorite things to do?
Well, I love photography. Obviously, any chance that I get to do, it's really cool. And whenever I'm going to shows, like that's all I think is, oh, this would be so cool to be able to shoot. I love my dog. That's another one. I also love being active in the queer community. I am in a Facebook group specifically for local queer people. And so it's really cool to be able to be a part of that because we're always posting there different events that are going on. People are looking for queer-owned businesses or just need advice in general. I love seeing the community come together, and that was my whole goal with Vibrant too, was I wanted to create not just a platform but a community. I wanted us to feel like everyone's a part of it, our readers especially. I wanted them to feel immersed and a part of it. And so that's really important to me to be a part of and active in is in the queer community.
I feel like it's important to be able to like make sure that everyone knows that there is that community right where they live and that there are the safe spaces for them, especially n now. You know, I think that like do you feel like if you could time travel, you would? And if so, when would you go?
I think I would time travel, honestly. because sometimes, as someone with anxiety, the future scares me. But probably to the 80s, or actually, no, probably more to the 70s. I don't know, it just seems so cool, so chill. I love a lot of music from around that era as well. I'm a big Fleetwood Mac fan. I've seen them a few times, and that's I would love to be able to be there during their height. That would have been really cool to watch. I mean, like, imagine, like, we were talking about being able to see bands like up and coming. Imagine saying that you got to see like Stevie Nicks
I know,
like
for like
when she was just
$5.
starting. And I know some people they who have said, "Oh, I saw the Doors back in the day, like at this tiny venue that was as big as the pyramid scheme for yeah, like $5." And I'm like, that's insane to think about and to say that would be so cool to experience.
I know. My uncle in the 70s alleges that he saw Kiss play at a local bar, and it was before they were like known, so they didn't wear makeup or anything. And it's like, what? They wore makeup for like 100 years, and you saw
Yeah.
them before that?
When I was working the Queensryche show at the theater, somebody had mentioned that years and years prior that Metallica played at the theater. And I mean, I think the theater is so beautiful, but it is small. So imagine like seeing Metallica on that scale, like that's crazy.
I think the show that people talk the most about that like is part of the lore there is the show where Pearl Jam and the Smashing Pumpkins and Red Hot Chili Peppers all played together.
Oh
And
my
the
God.
I know it's like what? And that's the show where like one of the statues wound up getting like kind of destroyed and went crowd
Whoa.
surfing and stuff. The singer of Pearl Jam like scaled the mezzanine, which that is terrifying to me.
I've been to many shows where I've seen people do that, and it always, like, I get worried for them. I'm like, oh my God, they're gonna fall, and they're just having a great time.
I know, it's like, do you just do parkour in your spare time? Like, is that how you stay ripped for the road? Like doing parkour and eating bananas?
Their upper body strength has to be insane to be holding them up.
Looking forward, let's say 5 years, where do you want Vibrant to be?
I would definitely love for us to grow, obviously. We're still pretty small compared to some other publications. We have about 200 followers on Instagram. Even with that, I'm very proud of what we have done. So I would definitely love us to grow and become, you know, one of the main sources for queer media. That would be really awesome. I'd love for us to get into bigger shows and be able to talk to more queer artists that are up and coming, and be able to push out more content. I would really love to see some of the first few artists that we got to interview and feature grow as well. So we get to say we're a part of their journey. Something that is a goal of mine is to sell merch, and I would love to see that everywhere and just people sporting Vibrant, loving Vibrant. We're a very colorful community, and that's why I called it Vibrant, because I want us to be loud and proud. And so I'd like to see people finding us and enjoying our stuff and sporting that.
Yeah, well, you know, when you do get merch, I'll be sporting some Vibrant stuff. We're like coming towards the end of the interview. Just so you know, you can take a deep breath. It's almost over now. But I am going to ask you a question. As I scrolled through your social media, I noticed a post from a few weeks ago. And this might be a little hard to talk about, but I thought that it might be relevant to the discussion. One of the members of One Direction passed away, and I saw that you made a post that was very endearing towards what the band kind of meant to you as a child and how it hit you most recently. Would you want to kind of talk about how like you got into this music community and how potentially One Direction and the members had an influence on the path to where you are now?
Yeah, I can. Honestly, I would say One Direction is genuinely the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. They were the first fandom I was ever a part of. When I was 15, 16 years old, I was running an Instagram and Tumblr accounts for them. I had made friends in a time where I was going through a lot in my home life. Their music brought me some of the only joy I had in those times. And I remember being in school and being very much like outcasted for liking this like boy band. People just didn't understand what a family our fandom was and what a family we still are, because I'm still part of the fandom. It was because of them that I got into 5 Seconds of Summer and started liking some of their stuff. And then 5 Seconds of Summer started going on tour with other bands like the band Camino, and I started listening to them, and it really just branched out from there. That's kind of, I guess, the first experience I had with running any sort of like update account or being into a band on the level that I am doing with Vibrant right now, because I guess running a website, we're kind of doing the same thing, but I'm not posting an update of being like, Harry's at the grocery store. They just meant so much to me on such a deep level. Since the loss of Liam, so many of us have talked about, yeah, what One Direction brought us during that time and how their music made us feel. And it really just made us all feel seen and validated and heard, especially, like I said, at a time in my life where I had a lot of really bad home stuff going on, and same with other people. We found solace and community with other people who enjoyed their music. They were my number one artist on Spotify this year. I still listen to them daily and have never stopped. I've seen a few of the boys on their solo tours. Liam's death honestly like hit me in a way that I didn't expect, because I had walked away from the fandom for quite some time. I had gotten into other bands. I'm a huge, huge Paramore fan, so I got into that fandom. I've seen them a bunch of times. Yeah, I walked away from being an active participant in the fandom, and when it hit me, I was not expecting to feel what I had felt. It felt like I lost a family member, because I thought back to all the friends that I had made during that time, and the reason that I had those people in my life, and all the joy that it brought me. Seeing One Direction is something that I hold so dear to my heart that I know a lot of people didn't get the chance to, and I feel so lucky that I got to be able to. Yeah, it just hit me very, very deeply, because like I said, I made so many friends and it brought me back to that time. I also, when I posted that post, I had put some resources for people if they needed to reach out and speak about it, because again, people who are not on the internet and don't listen to One Direction or weren't part of that fandom don't understand quite what music means to those of us who do love music that much. And so I wanted to give people resources as well, because if I knew what I was feeling, other people very much were feeling it as well. And I have even still made new friends after re-entering the fandom since his passing. It was a very unexpected and very, very tragic thing. Kind of made me step back and think about other bands that I love, and you know what would happen if something like that did happen to them. Like I said, I'm a huge Paramore fan. If something happened to one of those, and the way that the community has come together, I think was really beautiful in order to support each other. And I hope we just continue to do that. But it made me just want to keep doing what I do more, so that way I can create those memories, in case anything ever happens. I'd not like to think about that very much, because it's very sad, very anxiety inducing, but I want to keep going to these shows and creating memories with these artists, because I know that I'm impacting their lives as much as they're impacting mine.
I get where you're coming from, and I really appreciate you giving some insight into that because a lot of people get really tied to whatever celebrity it may be. You know, like I think with music, it can be so interlaced with our daily lives. You know, like not to say that when like a big actor or actress passes away, it doesn't have a similar impact. Like I was devastated when Betty White died, and she was like 100 with music. Because of how the songs can impact your soul, it's like to lose the voice behind that can be so much. But then I know you worked the Andy Grammer show that was in town recently, and I didn't I could not be in the room for most of his show because it was like, oh my gosh, this is so intentionally sad. But his thing about like keeping someone in the conversation as like little messages to them wherever they may be.
That was something I actually brought up with a friend of mine as we were dealing with this loss, because me and my friend are long distance. We had previously worked together at another job, but I just moved across the country. And so we didn't have a lot of people like in real life that understood what we were talking about. So discussing how we were feeling, that's something we said was we want to keep Liam in the conversation. And I think that's something I want to do with Vibrant too. That's super important. It's talking about mental health as well. That also is something that really, really impacts the queer community. And mental health is so important. So anytime I can give resources, especially like with the previous election, I posted resources as well. But that's something that I want to keep talking about. I think that his death really showed us you never know what's going on in somebody's life, and you never know what could happen. Yeah, keeping that in the conversation. And if anybody knows any of Liam's background, unfortunately, some allegations had come out about him like pretty close to right before he had passed. And that was also incredibly confusing. And then for him to die suddenly right after, it was like whiplash. It's like, whoa, I'm feeling really conflicted because I had loved this person for so long. And then all of a sudden, he's not who I thought he was at all. And then all of a sudden he's just gone, and all these feelings are still there. I'm very confused. And I think that, you know, as unfortunate as it is, keeping that conversation of abuse and domestic violence is incredibly important as well. I know there's a lot of people that don't necessarily agree with Maya Henry, who had come out with her allegations about him. I've always said, like, I'm not anybody to judge or invalidate anyone's experiences. What, you know, I'm going to stand with them if that is what happened. None of us were there, but I think it's incredibly important to keep that conversation going, that you can idolize somebody and they can not be who you thought they were at all. But at the same time, because, you know, two things can be true at once, understanding that is that Liam was also an incredibly troubled person for quite some time after One Direction passed, or after One Direction had ended. He had dealt with addictions and things like that. And I think that is also so important to talk about. Unfortunately, addictions can make people do some really ugly things. Talking about how mental health, addiction, and things like that impact people, and giving them the resources in order to better themselves and get through whatever they're dealing with. I think talking about both of those things at the same time is incredibly important, and keeping him in the conversation in whatever context it is important.
Agreed. People are multidimensional, and to put celebrities on the pedestals that we do sometimes, like it brings us up, but it can also like create unrealistic expectations that they can go through the things that they go through. Sadly, the entertainment industry isn't super awesome, especially towards kids.
I love what Chappell Roan is doing. The entertainment industry can be brutal, especially to young people, and I think what she is doing is changing that for the better, and is super important. And that's also what I love about Vibrant, is the artists that we interview are all pretty open about their struggles and finding their identity, their mental health, and the queer experience, as brutal as that can be as well, just existing. I love that people are talking about that and getting that out.
I am too. I really appreciate that you're doing what you're doing. I look forward to the future of Vibrant. We're going to wrap this up, but I definitely would love to pick up this conversation with you again in the future because it's always fun talking with you. Before we go, if you could bestow any advice to like young Kale, like let's say that that was your opportunity to go back in time, or someone that you feel is very much like you were when you were young and is trying to achieve similar things to you. What advice would you give them?
I think young me would be so impressed at how cool I have become, and I'm doing things that I had never even thought were possible. So instead of giving advice to younger me, I want to give advice to, yeah, other people who remind me of me, or people who are just starting. Your circumstances can change truly at any time. That can be for the better. Keeping your head up, even through the hard times when it seems like absolutely impossible, but you never know what is going to be in your future, and that can be the most like incredible thing. Even to people who are just starting their journey in, journalism, photography, the music entertainment industry. Keep trying, even when people are telling you no, because eventually somebody's going to say yes, and it is going to open so many doors for you. I'm very, very, very lucky that, like I said, some publications said yes to me, and then through applying for shows, eventually somebody said yes, and it just opened so many doors for me. That's what I wanted to do with Vibrant, is to help young photographers, young journalists who are just starting, and to keep trying, because it you never know what your future is going to hold, and it can be really awesome.
Hell yeah. Okay. So, what should we spin out to today? We got 30 seconds of whatever music before I get music taken off of the video.
My number one song of the year was Good Luck Babe.
I love
Yeah.
it. Okay. Well, I have some unsolicited advice, as always, because some things that happened in the old podcast have to remain. Here are my three things. Be rad. Stay chill and always try to do the right thing. All right, everybody. This has been Katie from Katie Needs a Life and Kale Bitson from Vibrant. Really quick, also, I might edit this in somewhere different, but would you please plug your pluggables? Where can people find you and follow you?
You can find Vibrant on Instagram. It is at vibrantmusic.co. You can also find us on our website, which is vibrantmusicco.wixsite.com/home.
You heard it, people. Go follow those pages. Go check that website every week for new interviews and updates and pictures and videos, all of the good stuff. All right. Well, I hope that everybody has a fantastic week and we'll see you next Monday. All right. Bye, Kale.
Bye, thank you.